sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. It was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
You've given birth to the most beautiful baby imaginable. Congratulations! Now, welcome to the wonderful world of postpartum. The fancy mesh underwear, engorged breasts, raging hormones, sleepless nights, all while your body is trying to heal from bringing a new human into this world. The physical and mental toll is a lot for any new mom to handle. Yet instead of asking how you're doing, most people just want to talk about the baby. And while you're always happy to gush, of course, there's a little voice in your head screaming, "But what about me?" We get it, we've all been there, and today we're discussing how to care for ourselves as moms in the postpartum period when family, friends, even doctors are focused on caring for baby. This is Newbies.
He's gorgeous.
It's a girl.
Surprise, the whole family's here.
So when are you having the next one?
It's just poop.
Ready for another?
Wow, you look really tired.
Ready to go back to work?
Yellow poop? Seriously?
Did you sterilize this?
Sex? Now? You've got to be joking.
You should sleep when the baby sleeps.
She doesn't look anything like you.
I thought you already had your baby.
I did.
Babies don't come with instructions, so there's Newbies, helping new moms and new babies through the first year.
Welcome to Newbies. Newbies is your online, on-the-go support group guiding new mothers through their baby's first year. I'm Natalie Gross, mom to a 3-year-old boy and a girl on the way. We've got a great show today talking about how to care for ourselves as moms in the postpartum period. Now, if you haven't already, be sure to visit our website at newmommymedia.com and subscribe to our weekly newsletter, which keeps you updated on all the episodes we release each week. Another great way to stay updated is to hit that subscribe button in your podcast app. And if you're looking for a way to get even more involved with our show, then check out our membership club. It's called Mighty Moms. That's where we chat more about the topics discussed here on our show, and it's also an easy way to learn about our recording so you can join us live. Now let's meet the mamas joining our conversation today. Tell us your name, location, and a little bit about your family as we get started. Ashley, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Ashley Shepherd. I'm the mom of one, William, and I'm located in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm also the author of New Mom Thoughts, Real Questions for Moms with Real Feelings, which was created out of my journey in becoming a mother.
And I'm Jamie Fleck. I live in Buffalo, and I actually have 4 kids now. So I have Casey, she's 7, and Jesse turns 5 this week. Oliver's 2. And then I have Tucker, who is 2 months old. So I'm fresh in this postpartum period for the 4th time. And he's interesting because we found out he has a heart tumor when he was in me prenatally. So, but then he also ended up with an unrelated NICU stay. So we just kind of have some different perspective, I guess, because of our 4th little baby.
Yeah, well, thank you both so much for being here. We're all moms, like we've just talked about. We've all gone through postpartum. So before we take a quick break, let's chat briefly about the things that no one tells you about this time. So tell me 1 to 2 things that you wish you'd known after having your first baby.
So I think for me, coming from the idea of just feeling like a perfectionist, one thing I would say to new moms is to just realize that there's no right way to parent. There's no right way to be a mom. And you'll have feelings of where you feel like you're doing it wrong and you're not. You should trust yourself, trust your instincts, and really just know that it's a time to give yourself grace. Your baby's new, he or she is learning how to adjust to this outside environment, and you are also learning how to be their mom. And so being patient with yourself and just realizing that it's a learning process will definitely help during that time period.
Yeah, and I think I would add to that too, just don't be afraid to ask for help or even accept help if someone offers it. I think sometimes I felt like I didn't need it, or I maybe felt like I didn't deserve it. Like, my mom's here, I should be fine, I don't need help. Even this time around, our church offered to make us a special meal for Easter and Easter baskets for my kids. And I was like, oh, surely we can handle this. But we let them do it. And it was so helpful and such a blessing. So I think sometimes we're afraid to take that help, but just don't be afraid to take it, because this is just a crazy time. So many things are changing. So just take the help when it comes, or ask for it if you need help.
Yeah, those are excellent points.
Sounds familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame, so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Today on Newbies, we're talking about caring for mom during the postpartum period. There's so much to juggle while you're simultaneously trying to heal from 9 months of pregnancy, give or take, and the physical toll of however your child came into this world. Our expert today is Dr. Natasha Sriraman, a pediatrician and associate professor of pediatrics at Eastern Virginia Medical School and Children's Hospital of the King's Daughters. She's also the author of the new book, Return to You, A Postpartum Plan for New Moms, aimed at helping new moms care for their own health. So thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to Newbies.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, what is it about your own motherhood experience or your interactions with patients that inspired you to write this book?
I was a pediatrician and had my first baby around the same time. I have three kids, 2018, and one who is 14, who is in high school. And my own experiences, I think when you're in it, you don't realize how hard it is and how taxing it is. And I think both of them said it beautifully, like giving yourself grace, which I don't think a lot of us do. I think also being in the line of work that I am, I'm a little type A, and I don't think anyone really prepares you for what's coming. So I think I struggled with everything. I struggled with breastfeeding. I had postpartum mood issues like after my second. And I don't think back then, especially, we didn't talk about it and we didn't define it. Everyone was like, well, you're just tired because you have two in diapers. You're just overwhelmed because, you know, your husband's on call, like things like that. And I think when I started really focusing on that in my practice, and when I started noticing moms kind of struggling, but, you know, here I was, you know, 5-6 years out of having babies, and I started noticing it in my patients of all races, all ages, all socioeconomic status, you know, you just kind of, you know, I kind of honed my practice into really kind of focusing on the moms. I mean, I'm a pediatrician. I see the babies as soon as they come out of the nursery. I see them up through college. So I see kids of all ages, but really kind of focusing on the moms. And throughout my career, especially the last like 10, 12 years down here in Virginia, I really wanted to kind of tailor not just my practice, but my academic practice. So, you know, kind of like the breastfeeding, but also really kind of postpartum depression and things like that. And just really growing that in terms of all the things that us mothers, as, and not just new mothers, you know, it could be your second or third or your fourth pregnancy, your fourth baby. So I just, a lot of my research focused on these topics, a lot of my advocacy, both locally, regionally, as well as nationally, focused on that. I would be writing articles, I'd be writing blogs and things like that. And it was actually a mentor of mine who is also a pediatrician, and her daughter was pregnant. And what happened, and this was pre-COVID in 2019, and this was going to be her first grandchild. And she said, you know, Natasha, you need to take all of these things that you're doing, and it has to become a book. And a few people had told me that. And she said, but I think kind of seeing what her own daughter was going through and really not kind of being prepared for what postpartum is for the mothers. Cause like you said, every book out there is geared towards baby care, which of course is important. But someone I met said that she had read every single book that was out there. So she was really, really prepared on how to be pregnant and how to take care of the baby, but no one prepared her for what happened when she went home. And honestly, it was because of my mentor who just kind of really pushed me into kind of making this a reality. And she said, everything that you're doing, moms and partners and family members, they need to know this. And when we kind of looked at the market, there really wasn't anything out there talking about postpartum period for moms.
Yeah. I relate to that so much because, I mean, like one funny story, I had a baby shower and somebody who had had two kids gave me like these giant pads. and then I just kind of looked around. I was like, why do I need these? And everyone was like laughing. It's like, oh, you'll understand. And I had no idea. So then I like pulled my sister-in-law aside afterwards. And I was like, why do I need these? She's like, oh, you're going to bleed for a while after. And I bled for 8 weeks. There's just so many topics that are so taboo. And that was something that I had no idea about in there. And I was going to discover so many things like that on my postpartum journey. So I'm so glad we're here having this conversation today. So thank you for this. And, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about is there is so much societal pressure from social media, from your job, et cetera, to kind of bounce back after baby, right? But how long, medically speaking, does it actually take for a woman's body to fully recover from pregnancy and childbirth? I mean, I was personally in pelvic floor physical therapy for nearly a year. I had a fourth degree tear. So it, for me, it took a lot longer than, you know, that 6 week mark when you go to the doctor for that all clear appointment. So I'm just curious, medically speaking, if you can kind of talk to us about the process and the toll it takes on a woman's body.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and that's something that I address in my book, kind of the kind of comparison issues. For me, it was the magazines at the grocery store. So I didn't have social media back then, thankfully, because my youngest is going to be 15. But I cannot tell you how many women I have in my office who are comparing themselves to these moms, whether it's bouncing back or getting in a bikini or, hey, they're out, you know, going to the zoo with a newborn and things like that. And I mean, you have to think your body changed over, you know, generally speaking, 40 weeks, obviously, give or take for every mom. But all the changes, the physical changes, along with the mental health, mental changes, but, you know, all your hormonal changes. And then the physical act of giving labor, I don't think we all realize how difficult that is. And, you know, whether, you know, you have your natural delivery and kind of things that go along with that. But also, you know, for myself, I had 3 C-sections. And growing up with a surgeon in my house, no one prepared me for that. And when you think about it, it's abdominal surgery. And to think that we're having women go back to work, you know, I have some moms going back to work in 2 to 3 weeks and definitely 6 weeks, whether it's going back to work or taking care of other kids, or maybe you're taking care of your parents, or, you know, I see a lot of women trying to get back into that kind of their exercise regimen before kind of what they were doing pre-pregnancy. And you really have to give yourself that grace of, like you said, 9 to 12 months. And we just don't allow ourselves that. I mean, I think there's definitely this, we don't give ourselves enough grace. I say that to all the moms I see in my, I have a specialized like breastfeeding postpartum practice, but giving yourself that grace. But also, I don't know if a lot of those who surround us may fully understand that, because I think, you know, in my case, I think, you know, the mothers and the aunts who are, you know, surrounding me, I think a lot of people forget, you know, how long it actually takes. And I think everyone's family structure is very different. For me, it was just me and my husband, you know, whereas a lot of my friends, I'm originally, you know, my parents are originally from India. So a lot of my friends, they had a massive amount of people coming from India to help them. We didn't have that. You know, my parents work and things like that. And so that kind of the expectation, well, you know, you should be doing this. But, you know, it's everyone's postpartum period looks so different, and the amount of help, and like both moms said in the beginning, like how to ask for help and how to accept help is really hard sometimes. And I think just allowing ourselves to heal is very difficult, just not from our point of view, but I think from those around us. I think maybe there's the expectation of whether it's a spouse or a partner or employer and things like that. Like, you know, how many times have we heard that, you know, maternity leave is vacation? I used to hear that a lot. Yeah. So I think we have to, I always liken it to, like, you know, if my husband had abdominal surgery and, you know, we're expecting him to go back to work in, like, you know, two to four weeks, you know, that's ludicrous if you think about it that way. So I think, you know, giving that 9 to 12 month, and of course everyone's pre-pregnancy health varies, but really just giving yourself, you know, your body changes, and it changes with every pregnancy, and it changes with age, and it changes and things like that. But giving yourself, you know, giving yourself that grace. And I think, like you said, that's hard, because we're holding ourselves to sometimes an impossible standard.
Well, we've kind of talked about the kinds of emotions that you feel after having a baby. And you mentioned some of the postpartum emotions there, but if there's a mom out there listening to this, who's really struggling, what are some signs to know that it could actually be postpartum depression versus the typical anxieties of new motherhood, and when they need to seek help?
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much for this question. And I think probably a lot of moms have heard of kind of like the baby blues. You know, technically speaking, it's like 10 to 14 days, you know, where you're emotional, where you're, you know, your heart feels like it's bursting with happiness, but also, you know, you're tired, you're crying and tearing and things like that. But it shouldn't, when we start to worry, when it extends past that 10 to 14 day period, but even some of the research we've done shows that you can actually start showing symptoms even, quote, during that baby blues period, but where it starts impacting your, you know, daily activities. I mean, you know, getting teary and feeling overwhelmed, but, you know, you're able to, like, you know, take a shower or feed the baby or, you know, spend time with your, you know, toddler, where it really starts impacting what you're able to do, not wanting to get out of bed. A big thing is, you know, we say postpartum depression a lot, but I think, and I think there are some celebrities that have kind of brought this up a lot, but postpartum anxiety is actually much, much more common. You know, everyone tells you to sleep when the baby sleeps, and obviously that's not always possible, but to be able to rest, you know, can you rest? Can you sleep when the baby sleeps? Or is this like this overwhelming anxiety, like, you know, you're always checking on the baby, or you're fearful that something's going to happen and things like that. And really being able to just kind of rest is so important. And I think that those overwhelming, feeling that anxious is definitely something, you know, you need to talk to your doctor about. And I think that's a big part of what we do in pediatrics. And that's why this topic has become so important to me, because if you think about it, you're not going to see your, in our country, at least in the United States, you don't see your obstetrician for 6 weeks after delivery. So we start screening in pediatrics as early as, in my clinic, as early as a 2 week visit. So we're actually picking up these moms earlier. And the way I think about it is, like, you know, you don't want a mom to suffer for 4 to 6 weeks. So if we can do something on the pediatric side to start identifying moms and getting her the help she needs, and, you know, I'm sure some of your listeners can relate to the fact that a lot of times these feelings were there during pregnancy, but, you know, it was just pushed aside, or it was just, this is part of pregnancy, or this is just what you have to do. And I'm here to tell your moms that you're not supposed to feel like this. This is not part of normal motherhood. You're not just supposed to white knuckle your way through it. So, you know, if there's anything that, you know, is not feeling right, just, you know, please talk to your doctor, your obstetrician, your pediatrician. You know, definitely tell some, you know, your spouse, your partner, you know, grandma, someone that you can talk to, because sometimes it's just talking to someone who gets it, you know, getting kind of like the sleep squared away. You know, sometimes, those tweaks would really, really helps a lot.
We're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to hear from Dr. Sriya Raman and our moms on their best tips for taking care of yourself during the postpartum period. We're continuing our discussion with pediatrician and author Dr. Natasha Sriya Raman and our panel of moms today. Moms, before I get into some more questions, I'm just curious if you guys have any thoughts or comments on what we've just heard from our expert.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Sriya Raman's journey is very similar to mine in terms of having a C-section and then having trouble nursing and things of that sort. And I think all of those different realities that don't go, quote unquote, according to plan, when we talk about a birth plan, really can add to those baby blues and postpartum anxiety and depression, because you just feel like, oh, well, for me personally, at least, I felt as if my body didn't do what it, quote unquote, needed to do. And that was something that just kind of added to my baby blues personally. And so if you're a new mom listening, I just want to echo the sentiment that there's nothing wrong with however your baby gets here, however you feed your baby, things of that sort, and to just know that you're doing a great job.
All that you said was helpful. I think knowing when it's a big problem is helpful, because it is definitely, those first few days are just emotions like you've never experienced, just the ups and downs, especially downs, and the crying that is just out of characteristic. So I think it's very helpful to know, like, when is that cut off? Even filling out that survey, because I've done those in the pediatrician, and just really thinking through if, as you answer the questions, like, is this a really, it's just easy to undermine. Like, I don't think it's really that big of a deal. But if it is, like, you know, you need to get help. And so I think that's great that they're doing that early on, if that's something that you need.
Well, we've already touched on this a little bit, but I want to hear from you guys. What were some of the hardest parts of the postpartum period for you? And Jamie, I mean, you've had four kids. Does it get easier or harder because you already have little ones at home? And obviously, you know, your youngest was just in the NICU. So I'm curious how that's played into your own healing process too.
I would not necessarily say it gets easier. To scare anyone, for sure, because adding a child is a wonderful blessing, and there's so many awesome things about it. But, you know, just anytime you add a little person, there's just the needs are multiplying. And so for those who are like, just, you know, 3-4, no big deal, you're just adding another, I don't agree. I think especially number 4 for us was like, bam, so many needs. Just the sheer workload increases so much. And then, yeah, adding in the NICU stay was just interesting. I think, honestly, looking back on it, I think it was a pretty kind of a good experience. Like, the nurses were sweet and were helpful. But at the same time, you know, being kind of alone in the NICU where, you know, my husband was always with me and mother baby, but we have 3 other kids at home. And so eventually he had to go home, and staying, you know, doing those nighttime shifts kind of by myself, and then feeling like I needed to be up at 7 in the morning when they started doing rounds. And it even said kind of on the wall, like, please be up by 7, you know, have the bed made. And wasn't especially good for sleeping, which then leads to, you know, the emotions being even more heightened. So that was definitely an interesting part of the process of being in the NICU, just being so tired and not feeling like I could kind of fall asleep holding him like maybe I would have with my other babies, feeling like more under surveillance, even though at the same time I did have help if I asked for it, but I wasn't very good at asking for it.
Well, Dr. Sriya Raman, what are some of the top ways that you would recommend moms take care of themselves during the postpartum period, both physically and mentally?
Definitely, as both moms said, ask for help. Really asking for it, because I like to say that our spouses cannot read our minds. And that I give my moms a lot of guidance on that, like asking really kind of specific things. But I really tell moms that I need them to rest. And I know this sounds really difficult because when people used to tell me, I'd be like, but I have to clean the house and I have to send the thank you cards and I have to, you know, that kind of thing. But I need mom to rest when the baby rests. And if there's, you know, toddler or older kids, like, I mean, it's okay if they're watching a screen, you know, just like it, if they're laying in bed with you just so you can just lay horizontally.
Okay, I've wondered about that too, because I don't know how I'm going to sleep when baby sleeps when I have a 3-year-old.
Right. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, my, you know, when my, I had two in diapers, I mean, honestly, my oldest who was 22 months old, you know, Barney taught her how to tell time, you know, because I had to keep her occupied. It is what it is. And I think, you know, to your point about social media, I think a lot of times we compare our reality to everyone else's highlight reel. And I think we just have to be really mindful of that. But kind of just rest, like even if it's just a horizontal position, just, you know, things like that. And, you know, as you're feeling better and things like that, I really tell my moms, and I always use this percentage. I talk about it in my book as well, 4%. 4% of your day is 1 hour. I need you to take time for yourselves without the baby, without the toddler, without the stroller, without the diaper bag, without all the stuff, without the sling, whether it's going for a walk, whether it's meeting a girlfriend for coffee, whether it's you alone in the house and, you know, dad or grandma or whoever takes the kids out. And everyone kind of looks at me like I have two heads when I say this, but they're like, a whole hour. So now I've cut it back to a half an hour. But really, like 30 minutes a day, if you think about it, just to yourself. And I just remember the first time I left the house without a diaper bag, without all the stuff. I literally went to CVS and bought diapers. So it wasn't anything like I wasn't getting my nails done or anything. But really like just small concrete things that you can do for yourself, but letting your partner know. Because I think, you know, women are phenomenal. Like, you know, just I see women in my practice every day, my friends who have, you know, just who are part of, you know, my village and my children's village. I mean, like women are phenomenal. And like what, how we bounce back and how we manage everything is just, sometimes we just have to just kind of sit back and just realize that, you know, we're human too. And I think a lot of it is, you know, unfortunately, mom guilt. I think we feel bad. Like you all were saying, like, well, while the baby sleeps, you know, I feel, you know, I know I have this guilt, like I'm not spending enough time with my toddler. And I can assure you as a pediatrician and as a mom who had, you know, who had kids close together, they're going to be fine. Like they're just going to remember, you know, being around. Like I remember, you know, a lot of moms were like, well, I have to take them, you know, I have to take them to the zoo. I have to take this. I was like, no, you can just be. Like you can just be, like whether it's, you know, putting the baby in the stroller or putting the baby in the carrier and the toddler walks hand in hand with you, you're spending time with them. And I think a lot of times we have this expectation that we have to keep doing so much. So, but definitely I want all my moms to take, I won't say 4%. I'll say take the 30 minutes a day to yourself, you know, just to have that kind of that rest.
Yeah. You started talking about, you know, partners. So I was curious, how would you recommend moms talk about this with their partners, and what role do they have to play in this recovery period?
Definitely telling them or asking them for what you need. And you may not know what you need, right? It changes. It changes with each pregnancy. It changes maybe day to day. But really having that discussion with your spouse or your partner, kind of what you need, you know, things like, you know, I need you to take the baby, you know, at night and feed, you know, a bottle, whether it's the breast milk or formula, because I need to sleep like the 5 hours. I mean, I remember my husband and I were both getting up at the same time while I was, you know, trying to breastfeed, and it didn't make any sense because then we're both exhausted. So really talking about that. And then I think one of the moms mentioned a birth plan. What I always talk about is the postpartum plan. We actually have a postpartum plan where moms can fill this in with their partners as part of the book. And I liken it to, you know, the wedding and the bachelorette party and the bridal shower, it doesn't prepare you for the marriage, right? You know, now you there's a gender reveal, but you have the baby shower, you have this, you have, you know, no one's preparing you for the postpartum period, like having the baby and all the prep work and prepping the nursery and things like that. As a physician, birth plans go south all the time. You know, I think sometimes it's really helpful to moms to have the birth plan, but, you know, the baby's going to do what the baby's going to do. But having that postpartum plan, I really talk about a lot. And that's a great way to kind of having that discussion with your partner and like filling it out before you need it in time of crisis. Like, you know, really simple things like you were saying, one of the moms you were saying about your church helping out, like, you know, who's going to have the meal train? You know, are we going to start a meal train, or which grocery stores deliver food? So, you know, dad doesn't have to leave the house to go get groceries. Who am I going to call during the day after, you know, dad goes to work so I can take a shower? Who can I call when I just really need to talk? Who is the closest lactation consultant? Who are, you know, where are the support groups for, you know, postpartum depression? And everything kind of I outline in this postpartum plan. And it's a great way to open that discussion with your partner, as well as kind of having that plan, you know, hanging on your fridge before, because I know in my case, a lot of times I was looking for things when I was at the crisis point. And I think, again, like, we don't often talk about that when we're planning, you know, the baby showers and the gender reveals and, you know, registering for all the things. And we're not kind of looking forward as to what's going to happen when you bring home the baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are great tips. All right, moms, do you have any self-care tips or things that have worked for you to get back to your quote-unquote normal self after baby?
Yes, and I also just want to add on to what Dr. Shiraman said, is just the whole preparation. I think motherhood is one of those things where you can prepare for it, but it's a different experience for everyone. And if someone would have explained to me what motherhood was like before I became a mother, I still would probably not have understood it. So for me, one of the things that helped really early on was, like we've talked about before, asking for help and then accepting the help. Because I know often we want people to help us the way we want them to help us. As well, if you have a partner, for example, like doing the dishes or doing the laundry, and it can be really easy to want them to do it the way that you would do it, as opposed to just being happy that it got done. And so letting go of those expectations definitely helped me. And then also not being afraid to speak up when people ask if they can come over and visit. And that's something I've read on mommy blogs, is if you're going to allow visitors to come over, set the expectation that, okay, if you're coming over, you're helping with the baby, you're doing some type of thing, because you're exhausted after giving birth, regardless of how you gave birth. And not feeling bad about that, I think, is huge, because sometimes as women and as moms, we feel like we have to do everything and we don't give ourselves that space to let others help us. And so that's something that I definitely learned in that journey, is to just be open to the help. It's not an expectation that you do everything. You literally just had a baby. And then also really being intentional about your self-care, and once again, echoing everything that was said earlier. And for me, I know that was something that was difficult even before having a baby. I wasn't somebody who was very great at taking care of myself, and I was just kind of running and running and running. And then after having my son, I realized that kind of caught up to me. And so during that time, I was looking for resources, like looking online for different things to help me, books, things of that sort. And like, just like Dr. Shiraman said, I didn't really see anything that fit that postpartum period. And it wasn't that I had postpartum depression or anxiety. I did have baby blues, but I just wanted something that could help me capture those thoughts and still be thankful for the experience. Because I think that's another thing, is if you, as a new mom, have a traumatic birth experience or have an unexpected birth experience, people often tell you, oh, well, I mean, at least you're healthy and at least the baby's healthy. And yes, those things are great, but you still have these feelings and emotions that you want to get out and want to express. And you sometimes feel guilty about having those feelings when other people don't even have their babies, or they had something that was way worse than yours. And so you feel like you've been invalidated in some ways. And so out of that, that's kind of where my book came from, is that I couldn't find what I needed. And so I decided to create it. And so I created a 52-week guided journal for new moms to help them get from week one to year one with their baby. And I'm not suggesting that new moms write a book at all. That's not what I'm saying. But for me, because I couldn't find what I needed, it was therapeutic for me to actually create it. And during that process, it actually led me to talk to other moms and see, like, everything was normal. I wasn't crazy. Like, all of these thoughts and feelings that I had were validated because other moms had those same exact thoughts and feelings. And so really being intentional about journaling has helped me. And then also, like was mentioned, getting out and stepping away from the baby and realizing that other people are capable and they can take care of your child. You're not the only one. And that also kind of helped to reduce some of I didn't have postpartum anxiety, but just some of the anxiousness around being a new mom and everybody touching and breathing and all those things, especially having my son 6 months before COVID. And so that just also impacted me in a totally different way. But realizing that you don't have to do it all and letting other people help you, I think, would be two of the biggest parts that helped me as well.
Thank you, Ashley.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been over here shaking my head yes at everything everybody's been saying, because much of it is this what I was going to say also. But just that rest factor, I know, like the doctor said, it's you shake your head like, how am I supposed to rest with all these other kids around? And yeah, I was going to say the screens, if you need them, are just so helpful. I know, especially for me, along with journaling can be so helpful. But especially for me personally, just being able to have some time to read my Bible and pray. I know God has given me so much peace that I cannot find anywhere else. And so if I need to have my kids on the screen to do that, then it's fine. And just try to let go of some of that mom guilt. You know, guilt is meant to just to help us when there's something we're doing actually something wrong, and so much of our guilt is just not necessary. So taking naps when we can, when forcing the older ones to have some rest time, I'm not very good about that, but when I do, it's just so much more life-giving if we can all rest for a little bit, because we do all need it. Even getting to bed earlier, I tend to be a night owl, so not as good at putting myself to bed as I am at putting my kids to bed. So working on that, just like others have said, having the husband give a bottle. I think first time around with breastfeeding, I definitely didn't, there was just so much I didn't know about, you know, it's okay if you need to pump and let the baby take a bottle and you go to sleep. Just stuff like that. And if you can find a lactation consultant, I was really, really nodding my head on that note, that can be helpful. It's just, don't hesitate to look around, ask other moms, do you have a good one? Because they can really be so helpful. And if breastfeeding doesn't work, just fine. Formula is a wonderful thing. Even if you just need to supplement for a little bit while they're so tiny and can't stay awake long enough to nurse, just do it. Doesn't mean that that's going to, you know, you're not going to be able to breastfeed in the long term. So I think everything that everyone has said too, and then also just don't stress about weight loss early on. Just try to fuel your body with good things if you can, and then buy the clothes that fit. Don't look at the tag and just get what you need to get through this and take the time that at least that it took to grow the baby to worry about that.
Excellent point, Jamie. Thank you for mentioning that. All right, Dr. Sriraman, any last things to add before we wrap up?
No, thank you so much. And thank you both Ashley and Jamie for your input and for having me on. And yeah, just mamas, just give yourself grace. And my thing is, my mantra for my practice and what I do is that I need moms to be happy and healthy so the babies I care for are happy and healthy. So it's a package deal.
Well, thank you so much to you and to Ashley and Jamie for joining us on this episode today. And listeners, be sure to check out newmommymedia.com, where we have all of our podcast episodes, plus videos and more. That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Newbies. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Preggy Pals for expecting parents, Parent Savers for moms and dads with toddlers, The Boob Group for moms who give breast milk to their babies, and Twin Talks for parents of multiples. Thanks for listening to Newbies, your go-to source for new moms and new babies.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, mamas, don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.